And I'm getting hit with it daily by email saying, you got to push this, you got to push this, you got to push this. Doug, they're really worried about getting fertilizer. They're no longer, they've switched gears from trying to move that crop in these bins, and they realize, hey, we got a little time before the next crop comes in, but they want their fertilizer.
They want fertilizer. I know. I want fertilizer. Our farm needs fertilizer. We don't have anything. And, you know, starting back in last fall, we were working on the grain issue. So about every other week, I was on the phone with BNSF. Now in the last 3 weeks, I'm on the phone about every other day with BNSF, or at least logging in and trying to find out what's the updated information. We got issues. We got concerns. We got Agrim that shut down. So we have a lack of fertilizer coming into the whole entire system. And then we have an issue with the just trying to get product in. Now we have farmers gearing, switching gears, trying to figure out what are we going to do with respect to fertilizing this crop, because if we're not going to do it now, we're going to have to talk about doing some side dressing, some top dressing. These are issues. People are saying, what's going to happen down the road if we can't get something in right now? Trucks, we've extended the governor extended the and waived the hours for truck service on anhydrous ammonia getting it into the state. But it's still going to be an issue, and it's going to be a problem. Everybody needs to look at their situation, talk with their local dealer, but we need to continue to push on BNSF. BNSF said that they are picking up their velocity and trying to get more product in. They're still way behind, though, and they're still concentrating.
Have they been good to work with? Pregnant pause.
You know, they're answering my questions, but we're just not getting the right answers. And whether it's, I'm not going to say that the answer I want is yes, next week cars are going to be here. The problem is they're still trying to catch up with getting cars in for grain. And you're right, we've already switched to a different mode of action.
Farmers have. You
we
can
want
tell it.
Fertilizer. So now we need to be thinking about switching those cars out. But these elevators are mad because, hey, we've been waiting for these cars for 3 months or 2.5 months. We need to get this product out of here and make room, but they also understand if they're dealing with fertilizer as an agribusiness, we want the fertilizer too. So let's try to coordinate some things here and make it happen. So now it's really throwing the system into a big loop and turning it upside down.
Woggs, you work for farmers and you talk to people nationally. Are we the only state or region or area that's having this problem?
Oh no, Joel. When you take a look at the days late on these rail cars, you're going to see it up in the whole northern tier. You're going to see it's even worse in Montana, for example.
Yep.
It's just about as bad in South Dakota, and Minnesota is experiencing things as well. You know, it was interesting. The Surface Transportation Board held hearings last week. Our president Bob Wisness from the North Dakota Grain Growers from Watford City was out there among the testifiers. The STB, as I understand it, has now put an order in that fertilizer gets priority on these rail lines.
Yep.
That's an important part. But you can have all the priorities and you can have all the hearings and you can have all the talk you want to. The fact is we've got to get our products into the where we need them most. And we've got to get this fertilizer positioned. We're not positioned yet. We got a crop coming in. As I drove out this morning, took a look, it's not very far till everybody hits the field. We've got to have that stuff now.
So you say Montana is worse even than us. Is that still about oil, Doug? Is that still about the space available on the rail itself?
I don't know if it's just as much about that or it's an issue about getting cars. They're having problems. Every time I ask this question, where are the cars? They have said CHS is sitting on some, but they don't even know where some of these cars are, how to get them in or where they're coming from. They seem to be tracking them. But we have an issue with just trying to get cars places, and even in places like South Dakota, Nebraska to some degree, Minnesota, and that doesn't have anything to do with oil traffic. So this is kind of complex and trying to figure out what's going on. Velocity is down in the system. We know that. They're trying to play catch-up. It's increasing. I talked about earlier that I don't like the answers we're getting, but I know they don't like to give those answers either. They're trying to catch up. They're trying to do some things. We need them to respond quickly with this issue about fertilizer, and I think it's going to take having some heart-to-heart conversations with some of these elevators about, guys, we might have to hold off just a little bit longer getting cars to you with respect to getting your grain out. And maybe that means coordinating these fertilizer shipments, moving those cars around, those unit trains.
Let's go back, though, to the fact that there's a lot of bins out there that are full, that it would rather have it be in the elevator and be in the system. How did your guys' WOGs deal with the operating loan situation? You got friendly bankers? Or, I mean, because really, until you got it there, you don't get the check for it.
That's exactly it, Joel. And that's the big problem out here, and that's the cash flow issue. You know, we've got folks, we talked about this last week, where you take the Southwest Grain, for example, told the North Dakota Ag Rail Business Council the other day that between the 2012 crop and the 2013 crop, they have 100% of a crop in the bins yet. Out in southwest North Dakota, that's better than 20% of all the spring wheat in the state. That's what they handle. The fact is that it's not money until it's in the elevator. It's not money until it's down below, and we've got to get this stuff moved. And yes, it's created a lot of hardships. My president testified to the STB. He said it took hundreds of thousands of dollars that he was sitting on that he had to borrow to get his inputs for this year. We can't have situations like that. It's just not fair.
So now you've added interest into it.
Absolutely.
Because you're borrowing money just to get things moving, that you have money in the bank that you could be moving if you sold the product you raised. And you're adding the fact that you've got a fluctuating market, or aren't you? And the reason I raise that question is, you know, you can sell it, but if it's not there, now the elevators, the Paul Coppins of the world, or, you know, the Ronnie Knaus of the world are shaking their head going, wait a second here. I can't, you know, I'm making money off a product today at this price. That's a moving target as well, Wax.
Absolutely, and that's creating cash flow problems all the way up the chain. You know, as I take it, you know, driving out again this morning, and I'm looking out in the countryside, North Dakota farmers have made the commitment in terms of infrastructure to take care of what they need to take care of. They've got the bins out there in place. They've put the things in place and the infrastructure in place to make a difference. You know, it's about time that everyone else up the chain make that commitment as well. And I don't think it's fair to have that grain on farms. I think that if a farmer wants to get that moved, he should be able to make that move and make that decision. And quite frankly, he shouldn't have to worry about whether or not cars have a priority or we have room on the rails. The fact is that those farmers need that. They deserve it, and we're not seeing it, and we got to see it soon.
You said something the other day to me that shocked me when you said that the state mill and elevator can't handle a unit train.
They can't.
And Doug, I didn't know that. You're on the Industrial Commission. Build a unit train for them, Doug. You got the money.
Well, most of what they're bringing in is actually local. Now, they will take some cars in from different elevators, but it's generally not put together as a unit train. And the flour that they take back out, different situation. They aren't moving unit trains at a time. So there is some updating. It needs to be done. In fact, we're going to be having a conversation this late spring, early summer about some more updates, mainly on the driveway and some things that need to happen there because of the way we have a backlog, because they haven't been able to get trains in to drop some stuff off, but not only that, to get flour out. They had a little over two months.
It wasn't long ago. In yours and my day there, Wags, they weren't making money.
That's exactly
the mill now is turning you a profit, isn't it?
Yes, and that's why we're willing to put all this money back in and invest, or at least they're coming forward and wanting to make some capital expenditures, update some things, do some things. We're making the plant more efficient, and it's really benefiting North Dakota agriculture.
Stick around, or Terry Speed is going to shoot me, boys. Guys, if you want to visit with these two gentlemen, Doug Goring, Dan Wogsland, do it. 237-5948. Or we come to you live from Tall Towers Aviation. Doug Goring, North Dakota's Ag Commissioner, is with us, as is Dan Wogsland, head of the North Dakota Grain Growers. Doug, describe to people what you were saying on the break about one of the other problems that's out there that's one not getting brought up.
Yeah, with the collapse in the market, we had high expenses going into last year in this 2013 crop. We have people that were going to be in a really bad situation anyways coming into this year. Now they haven't been able to market grain. Yeah, the market's come up a bit, but the condition of the grain that's out there that guys have not been able to check or haven't checked, haven't been diligent about it, we're finding out that there's a crop that's not in condition. They're going to be short on bushels. Bankers are really nervous. Some are actually saying, guys, we're concerned about writing you this year. And going into this cropping season, there's people scrambling. I have one guy that actually said he's being forced to rent his place out, and he can't rent his place out because no one wants to rent the land. No one wants to farm, and there's some real issues coming up here, and people are having to rewrite notes when they still have their crop in the bin.
Absolutely.
So our mediation program has been gearing up. We've been having conversations. Bankers have been, I've been talking to some of the financial institutions. They're concerned. There's guys that are trying to, they're wringing their hands. They're not going to be able to get their crop.
Woggs, how long does the crop last? I mean, everybody just thinks it can sit in the bin and it'll be there 10 years later.
Well, it can't, and it depends on the condition that it goes into the bin, obviously. Joel, you take the corn crop last year, very wet. You know, 2 years ago, corn crop came off relatively dry. You take last year's corn crop, it was pretty wet when it went in. We had the propane shortages, of course. You remember those. Some of this stuff didn't get dried quite the way we wanted to see it, and that's the result.
They couldn't take it to the elevator. They were waiting in line. I mean, they're raising corn in places where they've never raised corn before. Exactly. Some of the local elevators there aren't set up to handle corn the way they used to be. I saw guys sitting in combines just waiting for trucks to come back. They were waiting in lines at elevators. This was a weird fall this year, guys. It really was.
Precisely. And the thing about that, some of that corn that has lost some of its quality, there used to be some market outlets, for example. But now it's my understanding because of the inability to get some of this ethanol out, for example. Some of those markets, like the ethanol market, for example, is not taking those kinds of that reduced quality simply because they can't, simply because they've had to readjust what they're doing, and that just puts a further burden on the market.
Let's go to the phone lines. Kim, you're on with Doug Goring and Dan Wogsland. Go ahead, Kim.
Hi, this is Jim. There's a couple of situations. I've hauled on hydrous. And you said something about Southwest Grain and CHS sitting on cars. Well, CHS is the owner of Southwest Grain. So, they're kind of holding themselves back on cars, because Southwest Grain is a division of them. And as far as anhydrous, you said that the government or the governor has extended hours of service. Well, you got people hauling anhydrous in spring and fall. You got people hauling propane. Those are very, very volatile commodities, and they're running themselves ragged trying to get product to the people. And somebody hauling grain or potatoes, they don't extend the hours of service for them, but hauling very dangerous commodities, those people are running themselves ragged trying to get it out there. It just seems kind of foolish.
I get you, Jim. Sorry about the name. Doug, when we come back, address that, okay? The 2 points that he pointed out. All right, stick around. We're going to be talking some ag today. Welcome back to News and Views as we come to you live from Page, North Dakota. Today we're at Toby McPherson's farm here at Tall Towers Aviation. Thanks go out to REA Hybrids. Dan Wogsen will be smiling all day, as will Ag Commissioner Doug Goring, because, guys, these are bison hats.
These are bison hats.
Those are nice. They're very, very nice.
Nobody ever gives a UND. Cindy Beck's a UND fan. She's here. At least she raised her hand when I said, aren't there any UND fans here? Oh, old fights, old battles. Guys, before we went to a break, they called in and they said, Jim called in and said that.
The hours of service.
Exactly.
And getting a waiver.
These are dangerous things. When you extend those, there's a reason that you have these limits on hauling anhydrous and hauling, propane. I mean, these type of things.
Well, and the point he was making right at the end, what about for commodities moving on,
potatoes, other things.
The only thing is that if we had all of a sudden a whole bunch of cars and elevators could take, we might have to do something with that. But the fact is that most farmers can just haul whenever they need to. But it is the commercial side of it that if they need to, they're going to be limited because they do fall under those different rules. I'm not sure if we had more information, more data about that. I could certainly go to the governor and we could talk about that. But right now, it's a little difficult to say, hey, we want to extend hours too on moving of commodities and things like that. I just need more information if we're going to make that request and that ask. As for stuff going down the road, these hours of service being waived, we just need people to be responsible and responsive to the situation, and hopefully companies are stepping up and making sure that they have drivers available. We always want to make sure we have competent people on the road. But you're right. There's a lot of product moving around out there. We just need to be careful, be safe, and don't get overly aggressive just because you're in a hurry.
But both of you got where you're at today as farmers. I mean, you both farmed. That's your backgrounds. And that's
still
farmed. Right. I mean, it's in your bloodline. It Wags, I've been to your farm. I know all about it. Here's where I'm going with this. Have you seen this before? Have you, Danny, in all your life seen where things were this backed up going into a spring like this?
Not as bad as we've seen right now. I can harken back a few years ago where we had some we had real concerns again about rail issues and other issues and getting product and everything. And we've seen hiccups along the way. It's you know, recently we've seen fertilizer shortages, for example. One of the reasons mainly that you're seeing folks talking about putting fertilizer plants into the state of North Dakota, and a good idea. But we've seen some of this, but I don't think we've seen it quite as backed up as we've seen right now.
Where is that, Doug? I know that they're proposing in Grand Forks and that now they've announced at Spiritwood and Jamestown they're on hold for a while. Where are we at with these fertilizer plants?
Well, I know that they're out there trying to raise capital and put some things together, and CHS is reevaluating their situation because of the cost of construction, labor, and things that are going on there. I also know that there's some other companies that have some looking at some supportive information and some different technologies that can certainly help, maybe at a smaller scale. But again, they have to work the numbers out because this is all about margins, economies of scale. I'd certainly like to see something out of one of these two places take place because we have this huge void that exists right smack dab in the middle of the North American continent that could feed 7 states and 3 Canadian provinces with nitrogen. And we really need that. I am so supportive of that, wanting to see that go forward. But we know that these places have to show that it's going to make money, and they got to get water, they got to get the gas in, and then they have to be able to get it back out. And getting it back out is not a problem because we have enough farmers around here to use it.
The demand's there, isn't it?
Absolutely. The demand is there. And you know, when you're talking about the heartland, and I would argue that North Dakota, and I've heard the commissioner say this as well, that we really are the breadbasket of this country, actually of this world. And we have the ability to have so many different kinds of crops. Having input shortages just isn't acceptable. And we need to have those inputs like the nitrogen that's available and readily available so that we can do the best job that we possibly can to feed this world.
There's another part to all of this, and I know you guys know this. We're very pro our area, but I haven't seen an extended period in my lifetime that puts a smile on the guys that are my buddy's face like it's been in ag for a while. And I worry about it. I'm one of those. I'm like, man, how long are we going to have this? Because prices have been good. Cattle prices have been good. You know, you've seen good corn prices and good cattle prices at the same time. Those things never used to go together at the same time. I mean, Doug, is there a bubble that's going to burst on us here? Are you nervous at all about this?
Well, I think we've already seen the pullback. Repositioning. I mean, they were talking about soybeans were supposed to be $9.40 this fall is probably what they're going to be marketed at. We're already seeing that changes that are taking place globally in soybean supplies, how it's already affecting what the price is probably going to be this fall. We're probably going to see corn continue to lag just a little bit, but eventually it'll come back. We're going to be at a new plateau, I believe. The one thing I'm really disappointed in, it's our small grains, our cereal grains. We pulled back, and we pulled back hard, and I'm a little afraid that we're not going to get back to levels that are really going to encourage a lot more small grain production in North Dakota and in the United States. But North Dakota creates the highest quality hard red spring wheat and cereal grains for the market. We just need to maintain those prices to keep some of that up. That's the one commodity I'm more concerned about is our small grains.
And we need to maintain that market. And that's why it's so important that we have the ability to move this grain so that we maintain the market. You know, 50% of North Dakota wheat goes overseas. We've got to be able to make sure that we continue to be the trading partner that is the dependable trading partner, that we can deliver those wheat shipments over to China, over to Japan and others, and make sure that we have that. But you know what, Joel? It's never been a better time to be in agriculture, ever.
Absolutely.
Or to sell pickups.
Or to sell pickups, absolutely. You know, and it is so fun. You know, we hold the best. We help with a number of groups to hold the best of the best in research meetings across the state. You know what's fun? You go into those meetings and you see the young people that are attending those meetings today. That's fun, and it's never been a better time. Young people are seeing it.
There's
a difference,
though. I got a buddy back home who's been highly successful farmer, and he's going to know who I'm talking about. Just I'm not saying your name, so he gets mad at me. But yeah, I mean, he's been a very good farmer, one of the hardest working guys I know, and he says, you know what? I'm done. He says, farming's been good to me. The brothers can farm the land. He said, I'm going to go do whatever I'm going to do. If I say what he told me he's going to do, you'll figure out right away who he is. And he said, I'm not driving around this computerized crap anymore. They can figure that out. They need me to drive a truck from the field. I'll drive the truck from the field. But, and he's not
you
that
can
old.
Still do that manually.
Yeah, he's not that old. But he just with all of these changes, you're talking about the young crowd coming in, and hats off to him. And we're going to switch gears to that. I mean, we're going to be talking about drones. We're going to be talking about how they're used out in ag. I mean, for my buddy, if I looked at him and said, okay, you know, here's what you have to invest in for the future of ag. You got to get yourself a drone. He'd look at me and say, you know where you can take that drone? You know what I mean? I mean, in his mind, he's in a whole different place. And I don't know how you keep up with the industry, Dan, the way you have to.
Well, I tell you something. Now you talk about a drone, I think you got to run it on an iPad, quite honestly. All of the things that we have and all the technology we have available. And thank goodness we have the ability to incorporate that technology into our farming operations. It's critically important that we do that. It's made us better farmers. It's made us better stewards, and made us better stewards of their land. But I'll tell you something, these young folks that are coming in, I mean, they know how to do it, and they can do it. And us old bucks like the commissioner and I, we can learn from that.
Well, we bring some experience to the table, knowing something about the land. They have all these skills and the
knowing
attributes.
Where the rock is out in the field, you can GPS that now. Yeah.
The soil, we know exactly what crop will work out there at certain times of the year when you're going to go out and plant. We know a lot of that stuff, so we can pass that along, do some mentoring.
Absolutely.
But they bring some other skills to the table that help them become more efficient, more effective, and really helps us stay more competitive in a global market, because that's the problem.
Can you imagine what classes at NDSU are like now versus what they were when you guys were there? I mean, think about that. Seriously. They walk in with iPads, and they sit down, and they start, and they're going over just what we're going to talk about here in a little bit.
I want to go back to Dr. Wilson's class now.
Oh my goodness.
God, that's what I would love to do.
That new training room that they have over there in Berry Hall is unbelievable. State of the art marketing. Those are the kinds of tools that folks are coming out with right now. It's exciting. It's a great time.
Hey, Commissioner, hang with me. I want you to kick off this next segment where we're going to talk about what this does, because I'm sitting here in the shop of a guy who does aerial spraying. So what does that mean to them? People that have been counted on for years for spraying crops and everything else that goes with it. The world of drones is here. It's being talked about now, and so I want to visit with the aeronautics community about that. In fact, David Gust is going to join us. Cindy Beck is going to join us. We're going to get a chance to visit about it. But stick around, Doug. I want you to help me kick that off. Dan, good to talk to you, bud.
Great talking to you.
Take your bison hat and smile all the way.
We will. Moment. Go Packers.
Oh, really? Really? You think Amy can't filter that up? There's a 7-second delay. You know that, right?